The crowd is assembling at Stonehenge in Fairbanks, Alaska. The minor league team, the Gold Panthers, will play an all-night game of baseball under the midnight sun. And I, right now, in this very radio studio, am trying to balance an egg on its end. No, I am not. In fact, that may be a myth. But here it is again, the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. Charles Liu is a professor of astrophysics and an associate at the American Museum of Natural History's Hayden Planetarium. Lots of field trips there when I was a kid. He studies quasars, colliding galaxies, and star formation, history of the universe, and he's here to answer a few questions far below his pay grade about the summer solstice. Hello, Professor Liu.
Not at all. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Are you a solstice enthusiast?
Well, we are having a wine and cheese party today after work, but then again, we do that pretty much every Friday during the summer. So.
Yeah, that's how the astrophysicists roll.
Pretty much.
So tell us about, the solstice as the longest day of the year. What happens on the solstice?
Okay, well, if you spin a quarter on a desk, just before it falls flat onto the desktop, it kind of wobbles as it spins. Well, Earth does that too. As it spins, it also wobbles, but one wobble takes 26,000 years or so. So the North Pole and the South Pole are kind of pointed diagonally with its respect to the path around the sun. And today the North Pole just happens to be pointed more toward the sun than on any other day this year. So that's why it's the solstice.
And in fact, the seasons have nothing to do with closeness or farness. What would be the word farness, anyway?
How farness, close? That'll work.
Yeah, yeah. How close or far you are from the sun, it's all tilt, right?
That's right. Here on Earth, the tilt is pretty much it. And it's pretty much on other planets, too. But Mars, for example, Mars solstice is actually happening in a few days as well, by coincidence, this year. And it actually does have a more elliptical orbit. So for Mars, seasons are affected a little bit more by distance. But here on Earth, no. In fact, we're actually closer to the sun in January than we are in June.
Isn't a day on Venus longer than a year, like a lot longer?
Yeah, Venus, every planet is cool. Actually, they all have...
Yeah, they're all cool.
But Venus kind of, yes, takes much a few days longer to go around once on its axis than it does to go around the sun. So it has some very strange sunrise-sunset things.
All right, that was a digression. Back to the solstice.
That's okay.
You're an astronomer. What about astrology? Do you think it's all junk science? Or, I mean, it's all based on planetary positions and stuff. What do you think about it?
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned that I'm a professor. I teach at the College of Staten Island here in New York. And I often get that very same question. Do you believe in astrology? Does it make sense? The bottom line is astrology was invented thousands of years ago, before science was invented. People mapped the sky, tried to understand the stars, didn't have the tools really that we do today to understand them, but they made educated guesses. So that's really where astrology came from. And today we have better than educated guesses, so we have the science of astronomy. People still like to look at the stars, though, and like a lot of things in the world, we believe things that aren't necessarily scientific. We just need to know the difference between what is and what isn't science.
People used astrology to try to explain human behavior. Astronomy, is there any way does it have any effect on human behavior other
right.
than the fact
Good
that
question.
It's hot
no,
in
the
summer?
The answer is completely no. Scientifically speaking, we know for sure that the positions of the stars and the planets and so forth, there is absolutely no effect, even the moon, physically speaking, on human behavior. But, we humans, we allow lots of different things to affect our behavior, whether they're scientific or not. So it's a matter of what you want to think about, how you want to run your world, how you want to run your life. Bottom line is, believe what you will, scientifically, astrology is completely non-scientific. That's what it is. But, if you want to look at the horoscope and find out that, today you'll come into money and you find a quarter on the street, what the heck, right?
Yeah, see how long the quarter will spin.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you, Stonehenge out there, obviously it has some relation to the solstice. On the solstice day, it's shedding light right directly above it. What do you have any other, do you follow Stonehenge? Because every so often a new discovery is made about Stonehenge.
Right.
So well, do you have any theories about Stonehenge?
I personally don't. Mm. Here's the deal with Stonehenge, in my opinion, and also lots of these other places, the pyramids in Egypt or Machu Picchu, the Inca empires, Mesa Verde in Colorado, we're learning more and more about our ancestors every day as we do our archaeological studies all around the world. And what we're learning is that our ancient ancestors, even the prehistoric ones, really knew a lot about the motions of the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. So I'm not surprised at all that the ancient Celtic Druids also understood that there would be one day every year when there would be more sunlight than any other day, or one day of the year where there'd be not as much as any other day. That would be sort of in midwinter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that as we learn more about any of these places, we learn more about how creative and how clever our ancestors were. We think that right now, if you look carefully at the overall layout of Stonehenge, not just the few rocks in the center, but all the different pieces of it all around, that it may have been used to predict solar and lunar eclipses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty sophisticated math, and these guys really knew what they were doing.
Cool. Charlie Liu, he teaches astrophysics at CUNY College of Staten Island. His forthcoming book is called The Handy Astronomy Answer Book. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you very much, Mike.